Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Oh, very exciting. Appreciate you spending your Sunday afternoon with us.
To be that young again.
Yes. Well, and I wanted to have you guys on because you guys were first-time home buyers that have closed, what's it been now, close to a month?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah. 3 weeks, yeah. Friday it was 3 weeks.
You've had time to reflect on the events that have unfolded and
right.
gone through this entire process all the way to closing, and now you said you're actually starting to paint some rooms, all those fun things.
And we closed on Friday the 13th, which is probably the first thing we shouldn't have done, but it worked out.
It worked out, okay.
To avoid the superstitions.
Don't be afraid of that exactly.
It gives whatever energy we give it.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's actually back up to the beginning of the process, because how long did you guys think about buying a home before you actually got really serious about the process?
Oh, man, we've lived in St. Louis for about 2 years now and have been in an apartment for all that time.
And where did you guys move from?
We're both from Northern Illinois originally, moved here roughly 2 years ago, and have been kind of just looking ever since because we knew we'd be here for a while and that sort of thing. So we decided to just pull the trigger, you know, once we were within a few months of our second year lease coming up on our apartment and, you know, found a handful of things on the market that we liked. So
okay, so the lease was really what kind of dictated the timing of when you guys were going to buy.
That and just kind of, you know, hearing some things about rates being at an all-time low and, you know, they've got to go up sometime and that and the timing with our lease, you know, and our financial situation at the time just kind of all came together.
Now, Alyssa, how involved were you with the process?
Well, I'm an interior designer, so I was very involved with the looking at the houses and the pictures and everything, but he kind of did a lot of the footwork of reaching out to the realtor and you and all that kind of stuff, so I just sort of was along for the ride.
Well, see, what having an interior designer
smart
in family, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I think, I was a little picky, so I think sometimes he was kind of like, come on, let's go, but
all right, so
I think in the end it was
I have
good.
Questions for you then, because when you're looking at properties, did you want to find one that was, you know, something that was already a style that you liked, or were you more intent on finding something that was kind of a blank slate where you could come in and make it your piece of artwork?
Well, I was sort of, we kind of had thrown it back and forth a little bit of whether or not to get like a fixer-upper kind of, and I think we weren't really ready for that, because I think eventually along the road we might want to do that, but so we kind of wanted something that was ready to move in, but we could make small fixes to, like painting or moving some things around or adding tiling or different things like that. Something that was reasonable, but we could still have the house be ready to show to family and friends and be proud of it.
Now, Nick, do you question her taste much or do you just trust her?
No, I think we agreed on most things. We did agree on most things. There was a couple properties we looked at that we considered but may have been, looking back on it, bigger projects mm-hmm. than we wanted mm-hmm. to take on, because what we found out after we moved into the house that we moved into, which had been renovated entirely basically on the inside before we moved in, there were still so many little projects to do that it was a little bit overwhelming, even in a house that had been renovated.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to be pressured to do something. Like, if we would have wanted to totally gut something, like the kitchen or the bathroom, we almost would have had to do it right away, which would have put us under a lot of pressure.
Sure.
You know, already the pressures of moving and all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine taking on a big project like that
right
away.
Well, and you just put out money for down payment.
Right.
And now you'd have to do all that with cash.
Yeah.
Right.
That can be very difficult, and people have to think about that if they want to buy a fixer-upper. You better put less money down and mm-hmm. save some money. You keep your liquidity so that you can actually make those improvements
to fix mm-hmm. it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because even with minor improvements that you guys are going to do, you're still going to spend some money.
Right. Absolutely. And especially with us being first-time home buyers, we literally don't have anything to start doing these fixer-uppers, like a ladder or a right. power tools sure. or anything that you actually need. So we have to buy all that stuff
we
to do all the work.
Right. Sure.
Well, here's my recommendation on that is Craigslist. You're like, Mother's Day last year, you know what Tammy wanted for Mother's Day?
What?
She wanted a chop saw.
Nice. Is it a girl or what?
I love a wife that wants power
tools. Oh, that's heaven, sure.
And we went on Craigslist, and we found an incredible chop saw for like $40. We met a guy down on the loop and, you know, bought this thing, and it's been a great chop saw. We've done tons of projects since then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found one of Tammy's friends
yeah.
had a table saw, And he got really angry one time and starts like stomping the thing.
Uh-oh.
And like bent it all up and was about to throw it out. And Tammy knows me, so she's like, hey, don't throw that out yet. You know, brought it to me and I
will fix it.
Yeah, I repaired the thing and now I have a nice table saw.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely. So you have to save money on those things because if you want to go get new stuff for everything,
ooh,
it's like, think about a ladder, for instance. I want to get I need an extension ladder for my house. And there's some deals out there on Craigslist for that because the ladder's not really going to wear
cheap,
out.
They are cheap, man.
Yeah, it's not going to wear out.
No,
right.
No,
no.
Used ones are going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about people wanting new stuff, and it's a racket.
They think they have to have it, sure.
Well, I don't know if it's just driven by me being a skinflint or what. You know, but you just can't spend all your money on that stuff every time. You'll never retire.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. We even have, you know, some of the furniture, because now we have way more rooms in our house than we ever had in our apartment and way more square footage. So we got to find some way to fill it all. So we've even used, you know, our parents and stuff like that as a resource. You know, I've got my old dresser from when I grew up as a kid that we're going to, you know, we're going to repurpose and repaint and kind of fix it up a little bit as opposed to going out and spending, you know, a couple $1,000 on a bedroom.
Smart
set,
kids, right
so.
Here.
When I found a coffee table and two matching side tables at a garage sale for $50 2 years ago, and that
beautiful.
Was awesome.
Music to your ears.
Solid wood.
Look at this.
Yeah,
you guys
nice
are doing awesome.
Well, it's way better quality because they're a little bit older, so they were solid wood and stuff
when
like that.
I found posting on Facebook is great because when I need something, I'll put it out there into the Facebook universe, and people have stuff sitting around that they don't want anymore,
mm-hmm.
or that
right.
they've been storing or. And a lot of times they'll just give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes they don't even want it. They'll give it to you or sell it at a really cheap price just to get it out of their house. They don't have to mess with putting it on Craigslist.
Well, there's even like Facebook pages that are meant to do that. And like you can find them locally that'll just
right.
be like a quote-unquote online garage sale.
Right, the buy-sell trade sites.
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are good. What I don't like about those is that you can't look for a specific item.
That's true.
You're watching those sites all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, so... In case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Nick and Alyssa Jackson, first-time homebuyers, closing their first house. So let's talk about once you guys got serious about buying. Okay, now, you had already talked to at least one bank, hadn't you, where you'd been pre-approved? And
actually,
you're in the finance business, too.
Yeah, I'm in the auto finance business. So, you know, at least the terms and stuff like that were very familiar to me, but it was still very scary getting into my first mortgage and starting to shop and stuff like that. And actually, before we found you, Doug, we had talked to two different lenders, both of which were, I would say, subpar experiences.
Well, the first one was terrible. Didn't they, like, ask for all of your information via email and then
yeah,
said
and
my
name
wrong?
It was a lender that I had heard of on, you know, on radio advertising here in Metro St. Louis and just kind of figured, hey, this is the guy I need to go see or whatever. So I had called, actually sent in a lead through their website. A guy called me and just, it was pure sales pitch, you know, no personal connection
hey,
or anything like that. It was,
right.
it was
he's
give born. Me, basically give me your social security number, your income stats, and I'm going to, you know, tell you what kind of rate I can get you pre-approved for.
Well, you hit a home run here because you're with Doug at Cornerstone and they
absolutely.
Are the best, as you know.
Yeah. And we even went to, our personal bank here locally, after the first bad experience. And while they got us pre-approved right away and it was a quick process, I had so many questions being a first-time borrower and that sort of thing that I found that, you know, these people I was working with were more of just paper pushers than experts in the industry, and they couldn't really answer my questions before taking me through the whole process anyway. So
okay, so when you were trying to make a decision, because you've already talked to a couple people, what was it that would you say was really the difference between why you ended up using my team at Cornerstone Mortgage versus the other lenders?
Well, just to kind of paint a picture, when I was using my personal bank, which I have auto loans with and, you know, all my savings and checking accounts and all that, I had just nothing more than email correspondence back and forth between the, you know, the mortgage officer and myself. And that was about it. You know, I asked him, I typed the guy up basically a novel of an email one day saying, here's what I'm concerned about. Here's, you know, the answers I want. I've never done this before. Can you help me out, basically? And I got back just a couple short sentences about here's the next steps sort of thing. And
then
not
answering the questions.
Right. And I wasn't satisfied with that. So I, you know, just through networking kind of with some of my clients at work, I kind of found my way to Doug. And the first experience I had with Doug was we sat in his office with him personally for, man, what was it, 2 hours?
Yeah, probably close to that. And you, going through a true debt strategy.
Oh, man, you schooled me on the industry and answered questions I wouldn't even have known to ask. So I would say to any first-time home buyer, that's what you need to find is that guy. You know,
somebody that's going to make you feel good about the process and not, like,
yeah.
More
well, and here's part of the beauty of what we've set up, too, and Cornerstone Mortgage really supports us really well, is that I not only can do that to go deep with somebody where it's, you know, giving in-depth advice, but we still can be the best price out there, too, where they don't really have to sacrifice the interest rate or mm-hmm. the terms
mm-hmm.
Just to get the best advice, too. That, you know, we really can marry those two together.
Right.
And it's been the best of all possible worlds for me since I moved to Cornerstone. I've loved it. It's been a very, very good experience, and definitely loved getting to know you guys during the process. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you know, and you used a realtor that was a pro too.
Mm-hmm.
It went very well. And I guess if somebody's out there and they're looking, you know, they may just try to be shopping for the best deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell them that you really just need to make sure you're represented by a true professional.
Right. Yeah, I would say there's no shortage of realtors, especially in a big metro area like St. Louis. So to anybody buying a home for their first time, you would need to find someone that you're comfortable with and who's willing to take the time to get to know you and what you like, you know. So when they see a house, they know almost before they talk to you whether you're going to like it or not. And someone who's willing to spend the time, because like with Rebecca, who is our realtor.
Yeah. Rebecca Moran.
With Elite Realty, she's, you know, I was under the impression that the realtor that we were going to work with before we started working with anyone was going to be in a position to where they would have to push us in a direction to get us to purchase a home, because I've always been, you know, and this is kind of the car industry in me, you know, if you're going to buy a used car, it's not going to be exactly what you want. And we're not building a new home here, so we may not find exactly every single thing that we want in a home. But she was exact opposite. She kept telling Alyssa the whole time, if this isn't the one, let's just walk right out the front door, you know. And from a salesperson's perspective, that's got to be hard to find, because she obviously wants to sell us a home, you know. Right. But she was still the one to say, hey, if this isn't it, let's move on.
Well, and she gained your trust because she had your best interest
mm-hmm.
in her.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
has to take precedent over everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has to represent you first, not her own interest, and not, you know, not the interest of just trying to make a quick buck. Just making sure she does right by you. And in turn, you're going to send referrals to Rebecca, and you're mm-hmm. probably going to send referrals to me, too. And
absolutely.
And it's how our business is built, because I don't have the time to be out prospecting for new deals all the time. I'd rather spend longer consultations to go deeper, do a true debt strategy by looking at all the finances and realize that the mortgage is just a tool. It's the largest debt you're going to take on in your life. And mm-hmm. I feel like I have a responsibility to help professionally manage that debt. And I take it pretty seriously. And it's mm-hmm. something that I get a lot of education on, a lot of things that surround the mortgage.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to how to set up your bank accounts and how to set up all kinds of different ancillary things that I don't get paid to do. It's just more something right. that's within my field of expertise.
That's why you're the best, man.
But I love doing it, too.
I know that. Yep.
You know, especially first-time homebuyers.
It shows.
First-time homebuyers for me, like, I remember mm-hmm. my first house and that feeling, and it gets me totally excited, where you guys revive, like, my energy for what I do. After 20 years, you know, it's definitely something that somebody could get tired of doing one after another of whatever their profession is.
And, yeah.
But it's certain things like the transaction with you guys, it gets me excited.
Yeah, I think, you know, just the guidance is something that's important, not for everybody, but, you know, especially first-time mm-hmm. homebuyers. For example, you know, some lenders might try to get you to borrow as much as you can and that sort of thing, and just having conversations with you, Doug, about here's how much, you know, based on your income, you could borrow. But you shouldn't do that just because you could borrow that much money, just because right. someone is willing to lend you that much money. You know,
there's a difference between approvability and affordability.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So, and that's what we learned just, you know, just by working with you, because we had a set budget in mind, and then we come to find out, well, we could potentially be approved, not afford, but be approved for a loan much larger than what we were originally looking for. And some lenders may guide you in that direction and, you know, tell you, hey, well, you can afford twice as much home, you know, start right. looking for more expensive homes. But we definitely stayed within our comfort zone and are happy with where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Well, I'm proud of you guys, and I'm proud that you know, very happy you used us. And I'm always very honored when people choose us to do their financing. So really appreciate you taking the time to come in and visit with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
And congratulations, you two.
Thanks,
Tom.
All right, well, coming up, we have Toby Trinadue from American National Insurance, and we are going to be talking about the five biggest things most people don't understand about homeowners insurance. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Almost half of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. There's no extra money when bad things happen. If you're involved in an accident and are suddenly faced with medical bills, loss of income, and more expenses, what can you do? The insurance company wants to settle and settle cheap. You need someone on your side. You can trust us to protect your rights. Remember the fours. Just dial 314-444-4444. Schultz Myers, putting you first.